rightly dividing the word of truth. I think it applies to, and I'll just make an application of this. There are those that take certain truths that don't apply to us today, and they say that they're applicable to us today. And there are those that take certain things that are applicable for us today, and they say that they are not applicable for us today. So I think rightly dividing or cutting in a straight line is studying to understand the things that God has provided for us that are appropriate for us today. And these things don't come by osmosis. It's nice to put the Bible underneath our pillow and hope that all these things will just come in overnight. But it doesn't, as we all know, with studying. And, you know, I don't take the excuse that this book is hard to study. We take college books that are this thick, filled with words, half of them I can't even pronounce, and we study them. And we labor over those things night and day to be prepared so that we're not ashamed, so that we are approved. And when we come to this book, we say, oh, thou and thee, these things are too hard for us, four-letter words. So let's not make excuses about these things. God has provided this book to us. And in comparison to the things that we study, I wonder, do we spend enough time with this book? We have a whole stack of books. You know, you walk into a library, you walk into Barnes & Noble, and you see these people just walking around and filled with books. And they spent hours upon hours just reading over these things. And yet this book that has the answer to every one of those books combined, we don't spend enough time with it. But it says to study. It takes effort. It takes diligence. It takes, as we said earlier, rising up at 5:30 in the morning to be prepared for what the activity is. And Satan will find a way to fill our day with many things if we allow it to. We have to make time to study this book and to be able to rightly divide, to know what God has provided that applies to me today. So when someone says, you know, for example, 1 Corinthians 1, the covering of the head doesn't apply anymore. Well, God has answered that verse, that argument that people make by the first verse of that book, those that call upon the name of the Lord everywhere. So you see, we have to study. We have to be prepared so that when people ask us questions and they're diligently seeking help, that we can be able to show them the right things and show them what applies to us today and what does not.
So the question for us as young people is whether or not I want to be skillful in the word. Do I want to grow up into a young man, a young sister that has some measure of handle on the word of God? Or will I be 25 and 35 years old in a day to come, and I'm still being guided, or I confuse different parts of the Word of God, or I misapply things? This is what Paul is saying to Timothy and to the saints. And it is rightly dividing the Word of truth. You see, we have to always come back to the Word of God, the teachings, the doctrine, the things that we know are to be the fundamentals of the faith. This is this outline of sound words. Because what will happen if you don't have a handle on the Word of God, being skillful, is that you're not going to be able to recognize something that is error. And in verse 16 it says, the contrast to working, to studying, is profane and vain babblings that will increase unto more ungodliness. And what this means, young people, is that there is a connection between studying the Word of God, knowing it, and a godly life. And godliness means reverence towards God. And if we don't know the Word of God, it will increase towards bad behavior. If we don't know what the standards are, what the expectations are, what you'll always find with error and bad teachings goes bad behavior. And so Paul is warning Timothy, warning us, encouraging us, get into the book. Know what the Gospels, the approach the Spirit of God takes with the Gospels. The other night we sat with some young men and we asked them some questions. How is the Lord revealed in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? And at this stage of your life, you should know that he's seen as Messiah, King, in the Gospel of Matthew. In Mark, Jehovah's servant, perfect servant. Luke, son of man. John, son of God. Very basic things. And then there was some young man that took us and made some application to the offerings. Wonderful. Burnt offering and John's got wonderful. But that is when you're starting to become more skillful in the Word of God. Then you can apply it, and then you bring your own self under the Word of God and its ministry, and it will increase to godliness.
Brother Tony, help me out here. Is that only for the young brothers?
Young brothers and young sisters.
But why? I mean, young sisters are not going to teach. They are not going to stand on the platform. They are not going to participate in the Bible reading. Why it's important, Brother Tony? Because I don't want you sisters to sit around here and say, oh, good, I don't have to study.
They do teach.
That's right.
They just don't teach publicly.
Good.
They do teach.
Good.
They teach first by their manner of life. They teach the children in the home. They are the mother. They establish the young ones in their mind. They teach other sisters from Titus, not publicly. But, you know, if there's a sister that has a difficulty with her dress, the way she dresses, it's very difficult for Tony or I or Emil to go over and to help that sister, not to hit her with a hammer. Who is it that is best able to do that? It's another sister. It's another godly sister that is able to go over and approach. So we find that the idea that the sisters don't teach is an absolutely wrong idea. They teach every day of their life. But they do not take the place of the brother in the public teaching of the Word of God.
You know what Brother Chuck just did? He divided the Word in a straight line. You see how we cut it? They teach, but they have the proper place of teaching. You see that? That is how cutting. Just an example, and I appreciate that, because that's an example of how we cut the Word of God in a straight line. So as we have heard, sisters need to study the Word of God. Brothers need to study the Word of God. This is how we cut the Word in
the I'd just like to read from verse 22. It says, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of pure hearts. And what I'd really like to focus on is the flee the evil desires of youth. It's quite...
Hold on that, because that's verse 22.
Yeah, let's go back. We'll come to that.
When we get to verse 22, I'll let you speak.
All right. Sounds good.
I wanted to follow up what Tony said a minute ago and what Emil said. Emil told you and I earlier that there were consequences that come from decisions that we make. You can't change consequences. There's people that try to do damage control. But consequences come from bad decisions. Look at what we've had here. They will increase unto more ungodliness. Where does more ungodliness lead to? Where did it lead to in the context of these verses? Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already? What are the consequences here? They overthrow the faith of some. What a terrible consequence that is. Where did it come from? Well, it came from the Word of God. Not being rightly divided, number one. It came from those that were teachers, that had Bibles in their hands, that were in places of authority, and they taught things that were wrong. And brothers and sisters were not taught. They had not taught themselves by the Spirit of God the principles that we walk by. It doesn't say these people were unsaved, but it says their life made shipwreck. That's the thought.
So, Nathaniel, you have a comment here. There's a comment here and a